We had a wonderful series of Christmas Eve services last night, and I got home, I think, around 1 a.m., Christmas Day is always hard for me to be energetic, but it's a beautiful day, and when we come to the Christmas story, for me, there are a lot of whys, a lot of why questions. And what I mean by that is, like, when you read the Bible, when you come into Christianity, you understand that a lot of things are happening that Scripture doesn't clearly address and doesn't clearly speak to. Like, why did Jesus have to be born? Like, why did God do it this way? Couldn't he have forgiven people's sins a different way? Why did it have to be in Bethlehem? Or why did it have to be in line with these prophecies? Why was it so specific? And what is it that really all this means at the end of the day for us? Like, it's not always clear. Like, why did God let the serpent into the garden so that we needed Christ in the first place? I mean, all these questions sort of bubble up, and they're not answered clearly. They're not directly spoken to. And so it gets me thinking, like, if really the Bible is pointing to Christ, pointing to Emmanuel, God with us, why does God have to make himself known through a baby Jesus? Why won't God just show up? Like, why isn't he just here in front of us this morning? Wouldn't that be way easier? Wouldn't that be more exciting to wake up on Christmas morning and, like, the light of God, the Heavenly Father, in your living room as to the lights of your Christmas tree? That would wake you up. But instead, we're gathering and reflecting on a birth that happened some 2,000 plus years ago, and it's like, well, what does this mean for us, and what's the impact of that for us? Because we're not like the angels, or we're not like the shepherds in the field with the angels appearing. We're not like Mary and Joseph with the angels appearing to us and speaking clearly about what is happening. We're sort of bystanders. We're sort of observing the story unfold. And to read the story and believe the story takes faith. Wouldn't it just be easier if God just showed up himself? And why did it have to be Jesus? I mean, that's one of the big whys. Because Jesus isn't obviously God, not to most people. To most people, outside of Mary and Joseph, the wise men and the shepherds, it's a baby born in a barn, basically, to a poor family in the middle of nowhere. It was a non-event. It took a while for it to gain some traction, for people to come to know who Jesus was. And so why did God the Father come as Christ, Emmanuel? I can think of many other more powerful and impactful ways that God could make his presence known. And Scripture kind of speaks to this a little bit. Like, when the angels show up to Mary and Joseph, they're afraid at first. They're fearful that something bad might happen. Or when the angels show up to the shepherds, they're afraid at first because they're afraid something bad is going to happen. And why is that? Well, it's because in Scripture, when people encounter God, it usually means, uh-oh. Not, oh boy, yay. It's usually scary. It's destructive. And the reason why this is because God, in his perfection, can't be in the presence, in our presence, without our harm. I mean, look at Moses in the Old Testament. Moses said, "Please, God, show me your glory." And what did God say to him? He says, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and you will proclaim before you the name of the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." Or in 1 Timothy, they reflect on this as well. He says, He dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. And so for God just to make himself known, to show up, although that might seem easier, you wouldn't last long enough to remember it. Because to be in the presence of God is to cease to exist. Now, God is God, and so you might be thinking, well, couldn't he come up with another way then to make himself known without appearing in front of us directly? Well, yes, he can. Maybe in an infant child? And if you reflect on the Christmas story and those why questions start to bubble up, it's like, okay, so maybe God himself can't show up, so maybe he needs to come in another way, and so he comes in the form of a child. But why can't he just make himself known in other ways? Like, why can't he just, like, I don't know, brainwash us or implant in our head some sort of absolute knowledge and certainty about his existence so we don't have to doubt or have questions or even ask why? Wouldn't that be easier too? But I mean, in the beginning, God gave Adam and Eve like free rein over all of his creation. He wasn't controlling their every move. I mean, they ate from the tree they weren't supposed to, and God didn't intervene. And so I suppose he could do that, but then we wouldn't be free. We would be puppets in God's sort of drama and play. And then that makes God seem sort of masochistic in some ways, controlling your every move and your every thought. And that wouldn't be much of a relationship either. I mean, God's inviting us into some sort of interaction with him, reflection with him. He wants you to experience his love, and in turn, he wants you to worship and adore him, love him because of who he is. And if you're being forced into something, that's not exactly love. That's power. That's control. And so maybe God needs to do something different. Maybe he needs to help people see what is to come. Maybe we need wonders and signs. I mean, Jesus spoke to some of the early Jewish Sanhedrin and the teachers of the law. They were demanding signs and miracles from Jesus to prove who he said he was going to be. And I reflect on this because obviously, again, that would be a very clear way for people to know who Jesus was. And he did many things, actually. He gave sight to the blind. He raised people from the dead. He himself defeated death. But when he was in front of the teachers of the law, when he wasn't just going around and seeing to people's needs, he wasn't responding on demand. He wasn't performing for people to prove who he was. But let's say Jesus could be here this morning and give you wonders and signs. I've thought a lot about this. And I think if Jesus were to be here and maybe turn water into wine, I don't know if my initial instinct would be, wow, that's amazing. It'd be, oh, we're recording the service. Let's play that back in slow motion and see what he did. Right? Did I stay up too late last night and eat some leftover pizza I shouldn't have? I mean, even if Jesus were in front of me performing miracles, there would still be some element of faith. I'd have to believe that he was actually doing something for real and there wasn't some trick or sleight of hand or something I wasn't understanding. And so what did God do? God actually for thousands of years sent people from different regions, different periods of time, different walks of life to point to this moment. And it's not an amazing miraculous sign, but the fact that it spans multiple thousands of years, prophecies like Isaiah chapter 7, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign, and the sign is the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. This happened a long time before the Matthew gospel we just read. So can you imagine just over a period of time, God constantly speaking to his people, constantly pointing to his people to see what they're about to see, to believe what they're about to believe. And this is what all the prophets were trying to do. And even up until the very end, when Christ was there, John the Baptist was prophesying. He says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so I guess when I think about Emmanuel, God with us on Christmas morning, I think about how it's the only way that God can have a relationship with us. It's the only way that he can interact with us in a way that creates relationship. Because Jesus is physical man. You can touch him, you can walk with him, you can listen to him. And people from previous to his birth were pointing to him, talking about him, anticipating him. And then people after his death kept talking about him, pointing to him, and showing people what he did. Over a span of some 4,000 to 8,000 years, people have been talking about Jesus. And the greatest gift is that because he came, because God came in Christ, for the first time in all of history, we can have a relationship with God like no other. We can have forgiveness and redemption. We can experience something that no other faith or belief can fully grasp. And that is, he is here. Emmanuel, God is with us. He's here. So when John the Baptist prophesied about how he was going to send the Holy Spirit dwells in you. God is present here. It's in the communion that we're going to receive his very body and blood. He is present in a real and miraculous way. And it's something that's been talked about, anticipated, reflected on, and pointed to over and over and over again. Just so that we can be forgiven and experience the love and presence of God. So we celebrate. And it's the best way to celebrate, in my opinion. We celebrate by gathering together as a people of God, communing together, worshiping in the presence of Christ, and experiencing the gift of Emmanuel. God with us. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.